This is CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon. It's a Thursday. It is just after 1 o'clock and it's time for Between Two Frames.
Indeed it is.
And I don't understand why I cannot hear myself in my own ears. And I'm hoping this is not affecting...
I can hear you, Mabali. I can hear you.
Okay.
Shall I finish our little intro? This is Aspasia Karras and Mabali Molloy.
Thank you very much.
And we are doing Between Two Frames.
It's good to have you back, Aspasia. Last week you were in...
Good to be back. I was in Cape Town at the new Trenery launch.
Oh, wow.
And at the very time of our show, we were having the presentation. The MD from Australia was doing his thing. It was all very quiet. I felt that if I snuck out into like this fancy, you know, gigantic mansion in Clifton and started chatting to you, they would hear me all over the show.
Which would have been very rude of you to do.
Very, very. So I just sat quietly and texted you going, ah.
And you know what? Next week, we're going to be in Cape Town.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you
guys? The Breakfast Show team are flying to Cape Town to do our show from there on Friday. There's a whole bunch of activities that we're going to be getting involved in. But next week, Thursday, I'm not going to be here for the show. So
I'll have to run alone.
This is what we like about a partnership agreement is, you know, us being able to fill in for each other. But you know what, Aspasia? We've got a busy show ahead.
Yes, we need to get chatting.
Over the next hour. And you know what? Maybe let's get into the women's news, all right? Let's find out exactly what's happening in the world of news.
Women.
Regarding women.
The women.
Oh, okay. No, that was definitely not the right song. Okay. My mistake. Sorry. Wrong song. Cannot give that to you right now. But what I can tell you is about a particularly interesting manhunt that is happening in Pretoria, where a gang of women are basically breaking into people's houses and robbing them.
What?
It's a group of four women. Their modus operandi is asking to use the bathroom. Okay.
No way.
Yes way. And this is what you need to look out for. They ask to use your bathroom, and then once you've allowed them access into the house, that is when they basically overpower the domestic worker who's there, because usually it's a domestic worker who's at home by herself. They will overpower her, and then they will rob you clean of items in your house.
It's like Bonnie and Clyde without Clyde. It's Bonnie quadrupled or something.
Yes, exactly that. But I mean, I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, like, I suppose
a gang of women, and they're on the run, and police are hunting for these women, and there's four of them. One of them is allegedly pregnant.
You know what makes it sensationalist?
That is how you know that you're multitasking, a pregnant robber.
House robber. What I suppose what makes it sensational is that people, I mean, generally criminal behavior, except on Orange Is the New Black, is kind of predominantly done by men.
Right. It's perceived to be this this heinous act that is committed by men because, you know, they're physically bigger and stronger and they overpower you and do horrible things to you. But in Pretoria, they're dealing with a gang of four women who are breaking into people's houses and stealing laptops and TVs and DVD
And I suppose,
players.
Yeah, it's this kind. I mean, because usually women are involved in like maybe white collar criminality, maybe extortion of money from men, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Drug muling.
Right. Luring people into
drug muling.
Yes, well, like, exactly yeah. that. Exactly.
So this is kind of it's got a real Bonnie and Clyde delight to it.
Well, maybe you can tell us a bit
maybe
of...
we can interview them. Here's some good news.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because yesterday was the lovely Archbishop Desmond Tutu's birthday.
We love the Arch.
We love the Arch. And the Arch is a man of wisdom. And the joy is that he always says important good things. And what he said was that if we are going to see real development in the world, then our best investment is women. And I just felt, you know, a man after my own heart.
Well,
you say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing more to say on the story.
No, absolutely.
It's the story.
You know, you look at the Arch and you think exactly what you said, a man of wisdom. And when he speaks, you listen. Now, here's an interesting story. I don't know if you are familiar with Ronda Rousey. She is a mixed martial artist.
Hmm.
let me just actually pull up the information over here so that I really do sound professional.
MMA being like sort of clapping each other with bare fists and grappling on the ground.
Well, yes.
Gouging eyes out. No, they don't gouge. No, they don't gouge.
You know, they don't allow They don't allow for illegal activities. But she's the first and current UFC women's bantamweight champion. Huh. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Men's Fitness. You're familiar with the magazine. You get Men's Fitness and then you also get Women's Fitness, I think.
Yes.
So Men's Fitness in Australia.
As opposed to Men and Women's Health.
Men's Fitness in Australia decided to do something different for their cover, for their November cover. And they decided to feature Ronda Rousey. Mm. It marks the first time that the men's magazine has featured a woman on its cover. And when the new cover was announced on Facebook, some of the magazine's readers were less than thrilled.
You don't say.
I do say. Some users expressed disappointment that the magazine had decided to feature a female athlete.
But what are these readers of this magazine? That's what I want to know.
No, well, I mean, it's men's fitness magazine. So, you know, it's men trying to get tips on, I don't know, how to build a six pack over the next 12 weeks.
They didn't like her six pack.
They just didn't want to see a woman on the cover of a magazine that they consider to be useful in them shaping up. But now, if the reverse was true, would we also be complaining? If suddenly Idris Elba popped up on the cover of Marie Claire, would we like,
no, no,
hang
we'd
on.
Be quite pleased. Could well, we please you also see his six pack?
We would be very
maybe
delighted.
Maybe some other things as well. Speaking of other things, I mean, did you see the new controversy over the president's penis?
Oh, no.
But we don't want to mention
are
it.
We?
No, not,
no, no, no.
We can't go there.
No, no. Do it. Do it. I just didn't realize that we're back here again talking about the president's penis.
We are. We are. There was, I'm just trying to pull up the story, but essentially the president's penis is featured in yet another artwork.
Oh.
By this guy, Rademer. And it's R is for respect. Respect for the president's penis, and it's like a bunch of people marching with the like sign. I think in reaction to the last time that we had the spear, where
yes.
there was a march,
right.
calling for respect
to respect the penis.
So now this Anton Kanemeyer's cartoon shows a giant. Yes, okay, I won't say what it is.
Member.
Yes, respect for the president's penis. Now, the image is a reference to the spear. And I think it's causing so much reaction to R's for respect is getting Buti Manamela, the deputy minister to the presidency, said we don't have time for bigotry and what clearly is racism being projected as art.
Oh.
Hopefully the artist feels good about himself, and I don't think we want to be preoccupied with this when the country has far more important concerns.
I also, with all the respect in the world, I do not want to be preoccupied with my president's penis. Thank you very much. We'll leave it at that for the women's
news. You
don't
want to hear what Eusebius had to say.
Yes.
No, I always okay. want to hear what he says.
It's worth giving him the airtime.
Let's give him
so.
More airtime. He right. likes some airtime.
Yeah.
He said, this work is simply weak from an aesthetic viewpoint. It is neither elegantly plain nor textured with new, fresh or layered meaning. I dare say it was slightly textured, but I don't want to go there.
Okay.
There was too much texture for me in the in the depiction of said member.
There was a little too much texture for you to
dear,
handle.
Oh dear.
Okay. Well,
I just felt, you know, it being the women's news, we should touch upon this topic.
All right. No. Okay. That's fine.
now let's move on rapidly, swiftly.
Let's move on and let's get straight into our first guest, who is a filmmaker and broadcast journalist. I happen to know him from some of the fabulous work that he does on the channel where I work as well, which is ENCA. Now, I want to begin by I want to begin by taking you right back to the beginning, Aspasia, where an idea was formulated and then that idea started to develop some legs. Have a listen to this little promo, which is kind of where everything began. And then we will get straight into talking to Yusuf Omar.
Hello, Trevor Noah. It's Jeremy Maggs here at E! News Channel Africa.
Trevor, do you remember me? I interviewed you like 5 years ago. I'm coming to New York for the opening night of The Daily Show.
Yes, he's coming to see you. Trevor, we'd like a press pass, please.
And an interview.
And an interview.
Maybe backstage access?
To shoot a few shots behind the scenes.
Could you please sign my photograph?
Oh, Trevor, South Africa could not be more proud of you.
Biltong, I heard you like lots of it and we've got it. I'll see you on the 28th. If we can't get inside, I'll see you at the door.
So that is
I was
where,
worried for a moment she was going to ask him to sign his like pectoral muscle or something.
That is where it all began. And we do have Yusuf Omar on the line joining us this afternoon. Hello, Yusuf. Can you hear me?
I can hear you guys. How are you doing?
We are fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good. I did get my autograph. Thank you very much.
All right, Yusuf. Like, take us straight back to the beginning, because as I said, I'm thinking that it started out as an idea and then all of a sudden this thing started to develop legs. Then all I know is I'm seeing a hashtag trying for Trevor spreading like wildfire over Twitter. How did this all start?
So I was heading to New York for the United Nations General Assembly, but it happened to be coinciding with Trevor Noah's opening show. And I very quickly realized that not just my editors, but also the public have far more of an interest in Trevor Noah than they did in geopolitics.
I'm surprised.
So we went about... Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a huge deal, right? We celebrate all of our sporting icons. We sort of celebrate political icons. And this is arguably one of South Africa's greatest cultural exports. The, Trevor Noah is, and it is now, hosting one of the biggest comedy shows in the world.
He certainly is. And so?
So we started with this campaign. And basically, we wanted an interview. We wanted to go to the opening show. And we kept coming up against brick walls. They didn't want to host any media, especially no African media. There was no press passes that would be offered, no interview opportunities. I basically wrote like a long email to Comedy Central and got like a one-liner back saying, hey, no. Thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, dear.
And we weren't going to tolerate that. So we headed to New York, and basically I became a stalker, for lack of a better word.
Which you had no problem doing, I don't imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Draped in a South African flag and holding my biltong, because you know that Trevor Noah had put out a promo saying that if somebody could bring in biltong, I snuggled this biltong across the border. But of course, it was far more difficult to get me across the border than it was the biltong. With the name Yusuf Omar, it's not nice arriving at JFK, I'll tell you that much. But that's another story for a different time.
But Yusuf,
yeah,
I mean... If I just take a scroll through at, you know, at the hashtag trying for Trevor, I mean, the pictures here are amazing, because there's pictures of you outside the studios for The Daily Show with like what I imagine must have been
thousands of people,
hundreds of people queuing to be a part of that first recording of the first show. Then there's a picture of you and Trevor as well. So somewhere along the line, you managed to make this work for you. And how exactly did things start falling into place and coming together?
That's right. So I basically camped out there for a couple of days trying to see who's coming in and out of the stage door. And then on Friday morning, we had the opportunity to go to a breakfast press conference. And that was awesome. That was with Trevor Noah and all these producers. And like all the South African media, we were super friendly, right? We were like, oh, Trevor, it feels to be hosting The Daily Show. But the American media were absolutely ruthless. They were asking him like really specific political questions, because he is hosting a satirical show. And it is an outsider talking about American politics. And they were hard on him, but he did well to handle it. And when he couldn't handle it, the writers sort of jumped in and stalled for time. And then afterwards, they basically gave us an opportunity to have a quick interview with him. Obviously, nothing was allowed on video because he's a golden goose and they want to keep him exclusive until the opening show. But I got my selfie. I gave him the biltong. Trevor looked exhausted, as you can imagine. I mean, he must have rehearsed for months and months. He's reading consistently to try and get an idea of the local narrative. He looked really, really tired to me.
But, you know, that's the thing that I don't think people realize is quite how much goes into that Daily Show. I mean, there's a massive battery of writers. And
right.
I think every single thing that they say is totally prepped. Did it feel like that?
It does. And that really came through. So I eventually managed to go for a show. I went for the second show on the Tuesday night. And the one thing that's coming across strongly, both from what I saw and what the critics were fighting, is the stuff that he can't prep for, the interviews. And his interview skills haven't been as strong as perhaps some would like. I mean, when he's a stand-up comic, he's reading a script, and he knows it like the back of his hand. He's done it in front of a mirror a million times. But there's something to be said for the conversational skills that you have as a radio presenter or an anchor has on television that Trevor hasn't quite managed to capture just yet. And it's also been a poor choice of guests, I would say. They started the show with Kevin Hart, who was the comedian that opened up. And Kevin is not a brilliant interview. I mean, you're not really interviewing Kevin. He's just standing there talking about himself for 5 minutes.
But he's really, you know, a fun, exciting self. But it's not, you're right. I mean, I think he needs to get Donald Trump on there.
Absolutely. And that's going to really be where the American press are going to really decide where Trevor sits. They want to know, is he leftist? Is he right? Is he Republican? What sort of political sway does he have? He's maintained that he's progressive. He's gone down the middle. They also want to see when he becomes disgruntled. If you look at Jon Stewart, who was in the business for 16 years, by the end of it, people enjoyed watching how agitated he was by local politics, how upset he was by the way CNN or Fox News reports. Whereas Trevor is the opposite. He's still quite, like, young, and he's smiley, and he's just sort of like, I love the world.
He's amused.
It's going to be interesting to see if he does fold and become a bit
cynical.
I don't know, toughened up. It's cynical, yes, exactly, that's the word.
Yusuf, there are very few of us that will ever get the same opportunity that you did, which is to be a part of a live recording of a show like that. And, you know, there, as I understand it, there's a very big difference between being there in the moment as it's being recorded live versus me watching the final finished product on my couch at home. And so maybe you could let us in on that live element and that kind of energy.
Yeah. Well, for start, it's not live, right? So yeah. It's actually recorded at 6 p.m. and they broadcast it at 9 p.m. U.S. time. Sorry, 11 p.m. So they've got a good space to edit it, trim it down a little bit, to add all of their special effects.
The thing is, though,
it's recorded as if it was live. So in between breaks, they've got the writers rushing onto set and quickly changing the script because it's not the kind of show that Trevor can have the whole day to prepare for. They're recording it at 6, and they're using all of the news from that day. And a lot of that news is only coming in at 4 or 5 p.m., so they might only have an hour or two to put together some of the later jokes. So it's almost like a work in progress. And then, of course, they want the crowd to be super energetic, super laughing at everything that he says. So they charge you up. Before Trevor even comes out, they have a stand-up act. They basically tell you that every time they say Trevor Noah's name, you must stand up and start cheering, no matter what he says. Trevor Noah, you just stand up and you start applauding. So they really coax you into this idea that you are going to be a die-hard Trevor fan. So it's not really a legitimate laugh when you're in that spot. And the other thing that I noticed was, on the second night, he made some very controversial jokes, especially in an American context. He spoke about 9/11, he spoke about ISIS, and they didn't get any laugh in studio. It was silent. So
oh,
when
really?
I watched the broadcast, they'd added a bit of chuckles in the background. So it's interesting the way they can manipulate the crowd's sound to make it as if it was funnier than it actually is.
Well, because we have such a, you know, such a vested interest in Trevor, and we have that personal connection with him, if you like. I mean, the last thing we want to see is to have him end up like Piers Morgan, who was basically shunned by the Americans
and
was eventually
he didn't translate.
Well, yeah, and he was eventually pushed out of that market.
And here's the question: Is humor a global thing? Does it actually translate?
Here's the thing: some of the Americans that I've spoken to on the ground, they seem very, very excited to have an outsider's perspective on American politics. And they also are really, really, they're charmed by him. They find him very good-looking. They find him very charismatic. They're still drawn by what they call the Obama appeal. It's a mixed-race guy who can talk about blacks and whites, and he's got no boundaries. He's even, I mean, he's been playing this black narrative really, really strong from the very beginning. And they seem to be enjoying it.
Oh, we're losing you.
Yusuf.
Yusuf,
yeah, no.
Just as you're getting profound, we're losing you.
We seem to be struggling with Yusuf there, but you know what? I mean, I think we got we got the gist of it. We got the bulk of what we wanted to get from Yusuf. I don't know if Duncan is going to try and get Yusuf back on the line just so that I can ask him what next. I mean, I just love this idea that it all started with an idea and a hashtag, and the next thing you know, the guy is in the audience being part of the live recording for Trevor Noah's show. Let me just see if we can... Yusuf, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back here. I'm sorry, we're rushing stories on the way today.
Well, that's okay. That's okay, Yusuf. And thank you for your time this afternoon. But let me do just ask you, because I was just saying now that I love the idea that this all started out as, you know, just something fun for you to do, and then you ultimately saw it through your means of stalking and whatnot.
So, I mean, I don't know, Yusuf, are you saying that stalking will get you everywhere?
I think it takes a lot of resilience. Really, they're very good at avoiding the press in the U.S. And they've got press that are very good at stalking celebrities. I think it was a realization for me that sometimes stories like this that may be seen as fluff, that may be seen as the softer news, are just as interesting to the public as what's happening at the ANC conference or anything for that matter. That people legitimately do care for the success of Trevor Noah. They do want to know how he's being received by the global audience, because he is. He's an ambassador to us, and we should be very proud of that.
Yeah, it's a feel-good story.
Well, thank you very much for your time. That's Yusuf Omar, filmmaker and broadcast journalist, and now newest BFF to Trevor Noah. I think we can add that to your bio as well. Thank you. Thanks for your time, Yusuf. Yeah, and that was that. So you see,
we've learned some lessons here.
Okay, so stalking.
Stalking. That's we've learned some stalking lessons.
It doesn't.
Start a hashtag.
Yeah.
For your object of desire.
Maximize on opportunities, because he was going to New York anyway, and then he thought, hang on, let me try and be a part of this roller coaster
because
ride.
Because he really cares about another boring UN speech. I mean, I think that's actually the bottom line. We should, but we don't.
That's right. You're with Between Two Ferns right here on cliffcentral.com. Stay with us.
Our clients are the lifeblood of our business, and keeping their data safe is critical. I'm worried that client data in the wrong hands could cost us.
With MTN Business Cloud powered by Microsoft technology, your data is secured in world-class data centers based in South Africa. It's always available, backed up, and complies with South African laws, ensuring that you and your clients are always protected. With a footprint covering 23 countries, isn't it time you found out about a cloud solution built to build African businesses? Welcome to the new world of business.
Between Two Femmes on cliffcentral.com. It's good to have you joining us again this afternoon. And we're doing a bit of a jet-setting type of, yeah. At least vicariously jet-setting, you know, from one place to another. We've just spoken to Yusuf Omar on his antics in New York City around the time that Trevor Noah was filming the first episode of The Daily Show. And now we're joined by Megan Bernstein, who is one of the directors and editor of a blog called Under 5 Foot.
Hi.
Which is a lifestyle blog. Good afternoon, Megan. It's good to have you joining us
today.
Yeah.
Is your blog only for people who are under 5?
No, it's really not. I think it's mainly just me. Actually, my partner, she's also basically under 5 foot. I think she's a little bit taller than me.
But it is a very clever name, though, because how tall are you, actually?
I'm 1.48.
Okay, so, so she's 1 really meter 40. Yeah, no, I don't know what that is in feet.
No, it's under 5 foot.
She's diminutive.
Yes,
but
yeah.
In most stylish way.
Okay. Megan, let's start by talking about Under 5 Foot as a blog. It is a lifestyle blog, but I mean, you guys are so broad and diverse. You cover everything from health and fitness to food to fashion. So let's talk a little bit about Under 5 Foot.
Yeah, so Under 5 Foot started, I suppose, as a blog, and I think it's evolved. It's definitely become more of an online publication, and kind of a central hub for lifestyle content, working with really great brands and bringing kind of the different and the local aspects to our readers. We're very much about the different. That's kind of our philosophy, and it's about the people. So we look for the hidden gems. We look for the things around the city that, you know, people don't necessarily know about, and we want to share that with our audience and kind of bring kind of the real experience through digital, amplify the digital from the real world and allow people to experience those things through us.
Tell us your latest
your latest experience.
In Joburg, yeah.
Well, in Joburg specifically?
Yeah.
Well, today, I've actually, one of my writers, she's busy doing the eco-mobile tour.
Eco-mobility festival happening in Sandton. Yeah.
So she's actually on that. But, you can check out some pictures that she's been, Wendy Dixon, one of my key writers as well. She's actually busy jetting around doing all of that today. So that's quite a cool campaign that's happening as we speak, I think. If it's not over yet, but we've got some cool pictures on Instagram, and there'll be a post up later this week on it as well. So I suppose that's something that's quite interesting and topical at the moment.
Is she testing it at peak hour?
I saw some pictures of her on Instagram earlier. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know it was running this morning. I'm like crazy, so I wasn't able to be there, unfortunately. But I'll catch up with her and share all the deets on
crazy,
the site.
Crazy like insane?
No.
Should we be worried?
No. Well, crazy, I don't know. Busy? Maybe, possibly. It's,
crazy lives here. What do you mean? We're very familiar with crazy.
I know, but that's why I'm worried. Because if we do it in triplicate. Who knows? We could end up like those crazy ladies who are invading houses in Pretoria.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? There's right. just no knowing, no telling where it could go.
I did say that we were going to be jet setting vicariously through different people. And this is why I wanted you to join us this afternoon. It's because you've just come back from Greece.
Yes, I have.
Under your own campaign called Going Greek.
I have, yes.
Okay, so what was that
I'm
all
already
about?
Greek, so I don't need to go.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Some of us have never been.
It is honestly phenomenal. I was blown away by the experience. We visited, so basically we did almost like a mini tour. It was put together by a bunch of friends. My partner, Klee Barris, she was actually the instigator, and I kind of said to her, oh, well, I should totally come with you. And she was like, you should totally come. So I was like, okay, well, let's make it happen. And then I kind of think of it a little bit like Yusuf said earlier. I kind of saw an opportunity and leveraged it for the site and turned it into a campaign, which actually was really, really successful and has sparked a lot of ideas kind of going forward in terms of the content and the strategy for Under 5 Foot. So kind of watch the space. I feel like we're going to be jet setting a lot more and doing this type of campaign a lot more in different places around the world. But essentially what I wanted to do is, because everyone loves to travel and I myself have hardly traveled, so you know, this for me was quite a big thing because I've never been on a holiday because I've always worked. So I've never been on an overseas holiday. Like, it was the first time. I've been on work stuff, and I went when I was in school for like that kind of thing. I went to Switzerland and that kind of thing, but I've never actually gone on a proper holiday getaway. So for me it was the first time, so it was an amazing experience. And now it's something I want to do every year, definitely. But I really wanted to bring the Under 5 Foot approach to the campaign or to the trip, because I think often, I mean, for me, I don't like touristy stuff. I'm not interested in it.
Are we
really
talking about how to get under the turnstiles at the airport really fast?
Well, no. No, it was more
so silly. You must forgive me.
It's okay. I've heard them all. Okay. I've heard them all. No, it was really about taking the approach of local talent, local design, local culture, which is something we're very big on here in Joburg and Cape Town, but specifically Joburg because that's where we're based now, and about applying that to Greece and everywhere that we went there. So it was about identifying, again, seeking out hidden gems, from restaurants to hotels to fashion designers to activities to little bars hidden away, and it was about finding those little places and experiencing them and then sharing that with our readers through our social and through the blogs to hopefully inspire them to, if they do decide to also travel to Greece, to know where to go from a local perspective. So a lot of the stuff we did do, we did do touristy stuff.
So really good stuff for very small South Africans.
Yes. And big ones too.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
There is a lot to be said about the power in this digital space, where you not only allow people to, as I said, live vicariously through you, but you also provide, you know, you're providing content through the digital space. And then also you're providing a type of service, you know, for somebody who has never been to Greece. I'm looking at myself here and thinking, hey, well, I remember reading this on Under 5 Foot, and maybe
exactly.
that's a direction that I could go into. I mean, this whole blogging / digital space is really very exciting.
Totally.
For and this kind of thing.
There's so much opportunity. And for me, what I would like to start doing more with Under 5 Foot is taking this approach and taking it to, like I said, other countries, other areas of this country, and exploring and really allowing people to get to grips with what are cool things to do that are not the norm. Because everyone's tired of the, you know, the same old tourist things. You can go on Google and find the top 5 places to go to in Greece. The places I saw and the places that I explored, the people that I met were just so authentic and just so interesting. You know, I've written about them. You'll see we'll be launching a web series as well, where I'll talk about the different characters and all the different places that I visited. And really encouraging people to go and explore the different and not just stick to
the tour bus.
Yeah, the tour bus. I mean, I didn't take one tour bus and
Get
I loved
the
it.
Tour bus.
The tour bus is boring. You can, you know,
must
like,
I just walk everywhere and like just kind of must I, can I get lost
you
and
can
have
get
and
lost.
Turn that into an adventure?
You a romance. Haven't you watched?
Explore the streets. I mean, go look at just walk up the cobble street, talk to the locals, ask them. I mean, I got so many. One of my favorite islands was Ios, and I really got to know a lot of the locals there. And I would talk. I was talking to the one guy. His name's Oi Oi. He's infamous on Ios, and he owns this
infamous for what?
Well, he's this British guy with the swag earring and cool style, and he's into fashion. He's got this really great little store, which he brings in really great like pop culture type outfits from the UK and all over different places in the world. Also Greek designers. I got the cutest little sailor jumpsuit from there. I got the most amazing stuff from his store, and I started chatting to him. He told me about a great restaurant where I ended up going and having the best smoked salmon I've ever had in my entire life. So it's kind of through talking to people, through talking to other locals, I ended up at this place called Pathos, where I watched the most magnificent sunset that I've ever seen.
I have to say, the thing that always makes me laugh is that in Greece, everyone just gets carried away by the sunsets. And
look,
they
Cape Town has great ones too.
They but do, but what you don't see in Cape Town, which you see in Greece a lot, is like people like sort of collecting for the sunset.
Totally.
And
it's
clapping.
Like an event. Oh. Yes.
When the sun
yes.
goes
well,
down.
At Pathos.
It makes me laugh.
Well, at Pathos, it's like a daily event where yes. they actually play the Swan Lake, the very well-known piece of music for Swan Lake. They play it and it's perfectly timed as the sun sets. And it's this dramatic, impactful experience, which was just so incredible. I mean, I took a video. I posted it on the site as well, so you can try and get a little bit of the experience. But it was honestly the most impactful experience like that I've had, and it was just so amazing to share it with all these people who I didn't know, but yet we were all connected through the same experience. And again, everyone started clapping at the end of the sunset. It's bizarre.
Is wine a big thing in Greece?
You can order wine
because,
by the liter.
All right, because I'm wondering.
It comes in these little carafes, yeah. like metal carafes yeah. on my
or
island.
Jugs.
But in my island, it comes in these little metal carafes, which are like sort of technicolored.
So they're making you drink wine
red,
by the
blue. Well, you just think, well,
you know, why not?
When
in Greece.
Jeez,
the headache that comes with that the morning after.
No. Weirdly, in Greece, I don't find you get a hangover.
No.
But
I
I'm
feel
starting
like you just
to think
on.
That these are all holiday things. Like, actually.
Totally.
And I suppose that's the joy of a holiday, is that you've actually stopped to look at the sunset and you realize how magnificent it is. This thing that happens every day,
and that you don't
absolutely normally.
Whereas the sunset in Cape Town, as you're driving past it, you know, going home from work,
you're sitting in traffic, and you're like, "Oh my gosh!"
And you're in traffic, and you're thinking, "Yeah, okay, there's a sunset. I don't really care. I got shouted at by my boss earlier today. It's just been one of those rough days."
Yeah, no, totally.
All right, now let's get more detail into Under 5 Foot as your blog, your lifestyle blog, and let's just go through some of the things that you cover here. I mean, you're into fashion and fitness, that kind of
yep.
thing. Sweat and swagger is what you call it.
Yes.
Okay, so what does that entail?
Well, sweat and swagger is actually growing a lot, and we're doing a lot of cool things in that space at the moment. We've actually just partnered with Joburg Ballet, which is very, very exciting. Being an ex-ballerina myself, having grown up doing ballet, my partner Klee is also very into ballet. We're very big supporters of the arts and theatre. And just wanting to make that cool again and bringing that to, you know, young people. It's, you know, why are we not embracing these really talented, you know, people that we have in our, have, you know, right around us? And there's just so much, there's so many cool things going on. So Sweat and Swagger is about the alternative exercise space, because to be honest, I hate gym. It's boring. I have to force myself to go, I just don't do it. So it's about finding, and I think it's important to be active and important mentally and physically and to do things that you love. So
what is the name of that completely gorgeous head of the Johannesburg Ballet? What is his name? The chief. And he does these beautiful classes.
There's Chase, who I've been dancing with now recently. I'm not sure.
No, it's another one. He has these calves.
Oh, well, they all do.
His are specifically delightful.
Don't try and identify
and
a ballet dancer by the
Sharon,
shape of their calves.
Sharon Becker and I went, our fashion director and I went for...
Okay, hang on. I'm trying to look up the information online.
I'm not sure
speak.
Who you're speaking, but I think there's so many
hot.
Of those gorgeous men.
It was completely ridiculous. Hot and straight.
That's interesting.
That is what I'm saying. And so it was the most ridiculous scenario, because we walked in and clearly there was a hierarchy.
Oh.
Of along the bar, where the girls who were like really good were right up front.
Right. So
that's how it is.
The really bad bitches like us were right at the back.
Well, I've just started the beginner's class again.
If he actually spoke to you, then you got the glaring evil looks from them, like,
Oh, like who do you think you are sashaying in here?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I could start ballet at my old age.
I mean, if you
didn't start it at age 4, haven't you just missed that train?
Not at all. And what I'm loving is that there's
very
this
good for your bum.
There's this class of amazing, there's girls and guys of all different ages. The guy I'm actually seeing has started doing ballet with me as well, which is, you know, ballet's for boys. It doesn't mean that you're gay or, you know, anti-masculine or anything like that. I think it's a great form of, like I say, alternative exercise, and that's kind of what Sweat and Swagger is trying to bring to the table and kind of show these different alternative options to exercising, to living, to eating, to fashion, to all these different areas of life that we almost kind of are just on kind of autoplay, and looking for how we can mix that up and really change things and live interesting lives, because there's so much that we can do here, even just in our city. There's even the, I know at Wanderers now, there's a gymnasium there. It's super old school. It's like 1970s style. And you can go there and do gymnastics. I mean, how fantastic. And you can go to Joburg Ballet on a Monday. You can go to the gymnasium on a Wednesday. You can go and do salsa dancing. So these are all the different types of things that we're wanting to cover and bring into our space.
You've also got the Working Girl concept on Under 5 Foot.
Working Girl is headed up by one of my writers, Ayanda Simpela. She's an amazing, amazing woman. We basically, through Working Girl, it's about being relevant to the young working woman. It's about, you know, how a lot of people think will take for granted that everyone knows how to manage finances, how they should be investing, what they should be doing, how they should be managing their career. And I think some of us are equipped and fortunate to have that knowledge, but there's a lot of people out there that don't. So that section is really, it's about helping young professionals, specifically women, but not only women, but we are more girl focused. We're a girl power team. And some gays in between, but that's all right. And it's really about just providing that advice and that space for them to kind of ask questions and learn about things that sometimes are taken for granted or things that people aren't necessarily speaking about, and making that relevant and not high level. So not talking about, you know, hedge funds and or investment portfolios and things that, you know, the everyday person doesn't understand. It's about making it completely relevant and real for, you know, the everyday working girl.
How to ask for a raise.
Exactly. Things like that. I mean, how do you approach that subject?
That's how to demand a raise.
Exactly. Go ahead and ask for a girlfriend.
I've just clicked on the surviving single.
Surviving single
tab here. What is that about? Is that all about getting your freak on?
Yes, I know. So surviving single, it's a mixture at the moment. We've got a couple of different writers there, and it's really about sharing stories from single girls to other single girls or non-single girls, and it's really just about the funny anecdotes that happen while dating.
The funny antidotes to being single.
Yes,
this is how to stop that condition now.
Exactly. No, it's
take a very large antihistamine to the leg and you'll be okay.
What?
Because you said it was an antidote.
I meant anecdote.
I know. But I'm running with the antidote.
There's actually a very interesting article called Mr. 45, which I encourage you all to go and read. It's got quite some controversial comments around it.
Meaning?
There's just a lot of women with opinions about dating a 45-year-old man as a 27-year-old. So there's some interesting articles.
Are there pros or con?
I think it's up to the individual, but it was a personal story. And I think that's what it's about. Again, going back to what Under 5 Foot it's about. It's about sharing stories and it's about sharing experiences. So
Mr. 45, that's 13 years apart, hey?
13 years from who?
From the 27-year-old girl.
Oh,
what are we saying?
Oh, are we doing maths?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's 13 years. That's
isn't it
a lot.
19? I don't know.
Oh, my
God. I don't know.
Please don't ask me. Please do not ask me to calculate anything. I'm part of the breakfast team, which makes us collectively like the worst group of people who don't know how to count, except for Ben, who does the sport. Okay, so, I mean, you mentioned that you would love to do more of these kinds of activities where you're traveling around the world and
totally.
Then translating that experience through Under 5 Foot. So where would you like to go to next now that you've had your proper overseas holiday?
Well, I'm very interested in going to Israel. I think that would be a really interesting trip. And then the States. I think that New York for me is somewhere I definitely want to go. And I think somewhere like New York is quite cliche in a way. So for me, I would want to see the underbelly, and that's what I would want to explore.
Actually, Aspasia, you could recommend where Megan can go to next, because you're a world traveler. You've been everywhere.
Not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
You've been like to Reykjavik, for example, is on my to-do list.
I think also Italy. I think France. I mean, I think the list is just endless. I mean, even like crazy places like Greenland. I mean, or I don't know. I mean, I think there's so many different. But what's really great is that our content speaks to so many different angles. So, for example, we're also very big into yoga. So we might plan or theme one of our trips around like a yoga experience, or around a dance experience, or around fashion. So, you know, those.
Now, here's my question: how do you guys monetize this thing?
There are plans and there are ways.
This blog.
Well, we work with a lot of really great brands.
Oh, who's, do you?
Yeah. And we're also growing in that space as well. So it's about, so Under 5 Foot right now, we're about telling the story. Mm. But where we're wanting to go, and the kind of vision for the business, because it actually is, it's a business, is to then start allowing our readers to actually experience the stories as well. So I'm a very big believer. I mean, my real job, I have a real job as well.
You mustn't tell people that. You must let them live the dream.
Live the dream. No, my real job is very closely connected to Under 5 Foot. I'm a digital strategist. And I believe the power in digital really lies in transcending online and offline, and allowing those experiences to overlay within each other. So that's kind of the next phase of our business, where we want to go and starting to create these, our own boutique, unique experiences within the different genres of content that we talk about and that we run, and then eventually move into then actually running these types of initiatives and strategies for other clients as well. So there is quite a long-term future plan. I've got my financial director who's I'm working with closely to make sure we're all on track on everything. But we've got quite a clear-cut strategy in terms of how we're going to turn this into a sustainable business going forward. And hopefully one day this will be my real job.
It would be great. I mean, it sounds like
people want to contribute.
Like a good old time.
Are you guys like open to taking contributions?
Totally.
Do you pay?
Beg your pardon?
Do you pay?
At this point, no. But at this point, what we do often, what I'm very passionate about, it's about building the individuals. Mm. So Under 5 Foot started with me writing, you know, articles and kind of growing the business from that perspective. But I feel it's very important that as the team grows, so does the acknowledgement as well. Mm. So it's about building every individual writer as their own personality to eventually get them to a point where they're able to almost have their own platform, but it lives through Under 5 Foot. So we actually also partner with a number of other really well-known people. Stevie French is one of our partners, Myline Boots, Shopology, Alan and Christian. So we're very much about collaboration. And I believe, you know, I'm not in competition with any other blogger or magazine or anyone else out there. I want to work with them. We can do more together than we can apart. So Stevie and I are going to be running an exciting campaign coming up in November. So look out for that. And then we're doing also some really great work with Myline Boots and Shopology around Fashion Power Couple, which is also a very exciting series of fashion related content that we're looking to work with some cool big brands on. So keep an eye out on that. So I think it's very much about working within the community and forming our own community. And I feel like Under 5 Foot has become this platform for creatives to express themselves across these different areas of content, but from a different angle, and leverage our audience and the platform that we've built over time, and kind of work together from that perspective.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work, but also
it's
a lot of
exciting.
Fun.
It's
and
a lot of
definitely
fun.
Definitely very exciting. Megan Bernstein of Under 5 Foot, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Who's just gone Greek, and then we wait to hear where you'll be going next.
Stay tuned.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
There is a little meta that I do want to get to regarding partner in crime over here. You imagine my surprise while going through my Twitter timeline yesterday. And up pops a tweet about how you've been employed in a different and new position.
It's completely crazy, Mabs, because we were talking about, you know, the universe, like just throwing you something new.
Okay, so what has happened in the last several days?
In the last several days, I've changed job. So I've left Marie Claire as the editor, and I have joined the Times Media Group as the publisher of the magazine supplements. So there are a lot of magazine supplements in all the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
There's Wanted in the Business Day. There's the Fashion Weekly. There's the Edit. There are all sorts of magnificent things that I'll be publishing.
Sure.
Which is very exciting because it's a whole new realm for me. Publishing is, you know, the one who cracks the whip.
This is the thing. You know, it's all about
up to this
all
point. About, it's all I've about. I've been the editrix. Yeah. Everyone thinks you're the one that cracks the whip, but there's always a publisher standing behind you going, change your cover.
And now you get to be that head honcho in charge.
Oh, Lord. It's going to be interesting.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us this afternoon. I will not be back next week.
I will be back.
Asfasia will be with you next week.
I have... hopefully we'll be talking beauty.
Okay. Yes, we must, people.
Yeah. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about beauty next week.
It's that time of the year. It's summertime.
We need to get our beauty on.
You know, and we also need to know how to protect our skins in this very extreme heat.
But we're talking with Matakle Stofile, who has started a new project called The Matte Project.
Mm.
And it's really about getting black women to discuss their beauty issues.
You know what I heard the other day from the lady who does my eyebrows at the spa that I go to, and she was saying to me, you know what, black women need to stop believing this black don't crack thing, because unless you're following a proper beauty regime, it is absolutely not true. So please bring that up with Matatle next week, because I would love to know more about the whole thing.
Yeah, but go onto her Instagram so that you can start seeing her daily spots of advice. It's very interesting. Spots not being the operative word. My goodness.
All right. So be sure to tune in next week with Asfasia. I will be missing in action. And then we'll chat soon. Thanks. Thanks for having you.
Mabali.
I mean, good to have you back.
Every week I love having you.
I haven't been with you for the longest time.
I know. It's crazy. I feel the same way.
I'm all tongue-tied and stuff. Okay. Cliffcentral.com.
Bye.
This is cliffcentral.com.